There are plenty of research out there that shows that phytogenics are able to modulate tight junction proteins. They're able to reduce pathogen adhesion. They're able to control inflammation. And because they tend to act on multiple levels, like the immune, microbial, and epithelial, like these are tend to be very valuable like strategies that you can utilize.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
AccuGut C.1 is a proven solution for your coccidiosis toolbox. Give those traditional tools a break and rotate to AccuGut C.1. Visit dsm-firmenich.com/AccuGut to learn more.
AB Vista, intelligent nutritional solutions to boost poultry health and performance. Natural Biologics is looking deeper to find the natural solutions to your poultry health challenges. Nexus, powered by SAM, where science meets performance.
Welcome to the Poultry Podcast Show, brought to you by Wisenetics. I'm Doug Corver, dedicated to bringing you the latest insights and discussions in the poultry industry. Get ready to expand your knowledge and stay ahead with today's episode. If you find this interview interesting, please let us know by visiting our website at wisenetics.com. Our guest today is Dr. Candace Blue. She is the U.S. Scientific Sales Manager at ProBiotech International Incorporated. She received an MSc degree from North Carolina A&T State University and a PhD from the University of Georgia. Welcome to the program, Candace.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. So can you tell us a little bit more about your current position? What are your responsibilities? How long have you been there?
So I recently graduated from the University of Georgia in December 2024. So I actually have not been working at ProBiotech International that long, but I have done two research studies with them during my PhD. So one of my thesis chapters is included two of the products that we currently sell here at ProBiotech International. In terms of like my duties and what I do, so I have multiple tasks because we are a smaller company. And so I not only am part of the sales, or am a U.S. scientific sales manager, but I am also part of your technical support. I am also part of the research and development team as well. So I wear multiple hats at ProBiotech.
Great. I always find it interesting to find out how people got to where they are. So how did you become interested in poultry?
Great story. I think anyone that knows me has heard this story multiple times, but for my bachelor's, I did my bachelor's at Tuskegee University in Alabama, and I actually was a goat girl. So I thought that I was going to work with goats all my life, and that's what I wanted to do. But when I was applying for my master's and my PhD, I wanted to do a lot of nutrition work and a lot of like immunological work. And not a lot of people in the goat industry are actually doing, or were at the time doing, a lot of that. So all of the people that were accepting me were poultry people. And so fun fact is I am terrified of birds that fly. So I had a long, long, hard process to go, is this something that I actually want to do? And got into poultry during my master's and have loved it ever since. Wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. So that's my story. So now I'm in love with it. And like I said, I love poultry.
ProBiotech International is driven by innovation, inspired by nature, and passionate about contributing to a more sustainable, safe, and healthy food system. We work closely with our customers to deliver solutions to current and future challenges facing the animal production sector while using natural active ingredients such as chemotypes and polyphenols derived from plant extracts and spices. Our products follow a rigorous scientific validation process. They are then proven to work through thorough field research, certified for quality, and then brought to market as a complete and effective solution. In a world filled with rapid change, let ProBiotech International deliver your opportunities for solutions and savings to your program. Innovation is in our nature. Visit probiotech.com/EN for more information.
So what kind of topics are you focusing on at ProBiotech International?
So specifically when I was working as a graduate student, so during my PhD, I was looking at utilizing phytogenics to combat enteric diseases such as necrotic enteritis. However, we have here at Probiotech International have a variety of not just for gut health, but we also look for, you know, worms, ectoparasites, and also, you know, stress mitigation products as well.
So let's talk a little bit more about necrotic enteritis. That's a big topic in the industry. Can you give our audience an overview of the factors that contribute to necrotic enteritis in poultry?
Absolutely. So necrotic enteritis is, you know, a gut health disease. So we want to make sure that when we're looking at certain things that are going on in the gut, you know, whether it's bacterial or protozoal. So with necrotic enteritis is caused by the opportunistic bacteria Clostridium perfringens. So, you know, opportunistic means that by itself, it doesn't actually do much damage because it's one of those bacteria that's naturally inhabited in the gut. And so it needs a predisposing factor. So a lot of people will use, you know, changes in the diet or, you know, environmental factors. But one of the main things that causes necrotic enteritis, or one of the things that most people see that causes necrotic enteritis, is following a Coxsey challenge. So whether it's Chimeria Maxima or utilizing a Coxsey vaccine or overdosing on a Coxsey vaccine, we're seeing that the necrotic or the Clostridium perfringens toxins, not the bacteria, the toxins from the Clostridium perfringens is what's actually continuing the damage that the coccidia has already caused previously.
So they work together to cause disruption in the intestinal barrier. Are there gut microbiota factors that also influence the immune response to those pathogens?
So yes, there can be as well. So, you know, mainly we talk about Chimeria specifically, but there's other bacteria within your gut that can also, you know, anything that disrupts the gut. So if it's microbiome, or if it's your microbiome is off. So, you know, a lot of people like to talk about dysbiosis. So if there's an edit in how much what we call bad pathogens or negative pathogens that also cause the disruption in your lining, that will also help cause the initiation of necrotic enteritis.
We live in a world where we've really changed how we try to keep necrotic enteritis under control, with a global move away from prophylactic antibiotics and changes in ionophore use. How do those changes, particularly in the use of ionophores, impact the resistance or the way we prevent necrotic enteritis?
So in terms of, you know, utilizing ionophores, coccidiostats, things of those natures, you know, like you stated earlier, we are trying to move away from those. And there's multitudes of reason. You know, it's federal regulations that we're having out there where people are saying that they're not wanting antibiotics or coccidiostats or ionophores in their food anymore because they're concerned about residual. We're also concerned about resistance and also the overuse. And that's where the resistance kind of plays in the role, is because some people are overusing or misusing these products. You know, some of these vaccines are live vaccines. So they are actually, you know, giving these birds, especially when you're talking about coccidiostats, they're giving the birds Chimeria. And so if these birds are actually getting the Chimeria, and then of course not having something to help protect the gut later on in life, that's why you're starting to, people are wanting to kind of move away from that and try and use alternative products.
If you're enjoying this episode of the Poultry Podcast Show presented by Wisenetics, please remember to like, subscribe, and share it with your family and friends. You can also set notifications to on from our channel so you don't miss any other upcoming episodes. And please always feel free to leave us a comment at any time. Your feedback is always valuable to us. So let's talk a little bit about alternatives. So what practical strategies can producers use to either strengthen the bird's immune system or provide more resistance to the challenge that might be there?
Some key strategies that I would like to say are like making sure you're doing early gut conditioning. So making sure you're, you know, utilizing some feed additives, also, you know, consistent biosecurity as well is also very important too, but specifically utilizing things like phytogenics that tend to offer broader bioactive potential. And so, you know, phytogenics can help with, there's research out there, plenty of research out there that shows that phytogenics are able to modulate tight junction proteins. They're able to reduce pathogen adhesion. They're able to control inflammation. And because they tend to act on multiple levels, like the immune, microbial, and epithelial, like these are tend to be very valuable like strategies that you can utilize.
So what do you mean by phytogenics? Can you give a definition?
So phytogenics, there are plant-based compounds or plant-based bioactive compounds. So a lot of people are using things like, and I'm just going to give examples, but a lot of people are using things like carvacrol, where they're using things like thymol. And the reason why they're using these products or these chemotypes is what we like to call them, which are the bioactive compounds found in these plants. The reason why they're utilizing these products is because we've seen in other like medicinal purposes, we've seen how beneficial they can be to those antimicrobial, anti-inflammatory, antifungal properties that they have.
So you mentioned that this was the basis of your PhD work. So how does your PhD research influence what you're working on now?
My goal when I was doing my phytogenic research or my poultry research was I wanted to be able to support sustainable poultry systems by reducing that dependency on antibiotics. Again, you know, I'm a firm believer that antibiotics do have their place in the world, but, you know, let's try and build up so that way we don't have to constantly use them. So when I look at phytogenics, especially with what I currently do, my goal is to enhance that gut integrity and your immune resilience. So that way multiple producers can maintain performance and bird health, even in this antibiotic-free systems. And so that way we can also contribute to environmental sustainability. We can have more consumer trust. And also we care about that long-term flock welfare as well.
Are there specific approaches that you recommend or that you've been investigating?
We currently have two products that, like I said, I worked on with my PhD, and they were called Symbiotech, which is what we use as our coccidiostat replacement. And so it's a proprietary blend of chemotypes, polyphenols, and saponins. And that's what helps reduce the coccidiosis load or coxiload. And then we also have Alterna, which is a blend of chemotypes that were derived from essential oils, some organic acids, and also some medium chain fatty acids. And that helps with those microbial challenges. And so what we've seen with the work that I did specifically and other work previously done is we've seen that both Alterna and Symbiotech are able to do things like upregulating the genes that are associated with various tight junctions. So things like claudins, your zonula occludins, your occludin. And that makes them kind of really good preventative measures. Instead of reacting to these outbreaks, we want to use these products to support a proactive health management approach. So the biggest thing is always with both Alterna and Symbiotech, we're trying to make sure that we're maintaining that gut integrity before the birds even have to go into this challenge of necrotic enteritis. So kind of just another thing for producers to have in their toolbox, if that makes sense.
You mentioned tight junctions. Can you talk a little bit about their function and why they're important?
So tight junctions are very critical for preventing the leakage of pathogens and toxins into the bloodstream. So they're actually like what hold the epithelial barrier together. So a lot of people don't realize that when these tight junctions are compromised, this is what leads to what a lot of people like to call leaky gut. So that increases, you know, your systemic inflammation and your disease susceptibility. And so this is not only, you know, necrotic enteritis isn't the only thing that can infect, affect your tight junctions, but other bacterial infections like salmonella can also have an effect, E. coli, even stress. So, you know, a lot of people don't think that animals get stressed, but animals are also, you know, in these very stressful environments. So, you know, the goal is to make sure to keep these kind of tight junction barriers tight so that way we can prevent disease.
So how do phytogenics compare to other non-antibiotic alternatives like probiotics or organic acids in modulating that gut integrity?
With our probiotics, prebiotics, other, excuse me, additives, there's no silver bullet. So, you know, I don't want to say that probiotics are better than prebiotics or phytogenics are the way to go. Honestly, there needs to be a combination of all of these things, because every single last component from probiotics all the way to phytogenics, organic acids, all of them are in combination are really going to help build up, because they all have, you know, kind of and play important roles. You know, probiotics tend to promote competitive exclusion of pathogens, where the prebiotics will fuel the beneficial microbes. And then you can add in those essential oils, those phytogenics that can also modulate the immune signaling and even reduce oxidative stress. So I think all together, like all of these components will enhance the gut's ability to respond to any pathogen. So I'm not particular to all of them. I like the whole the conversation of all these together are what is going to help. And that's something that we've talked about in our products as well, where we don't just have, you know, just one thing in our product saying that this is the only thing that helps. It's really that cohesive symbiotic relationship.
Yeah. So unfortunately, it doesn't seem like it's a simple matter of taking out antibiotics and putting in a product and being good to go.
Correct. It's never going to be that easy. If it was that easy, we'd already have fixed the problem.
Yeah, it's a challenge.
Yeah.
So in your opinion, what are the gaps that still exist in understanding how to control necrotic enteritis, and then maybe particularly how phytogenics work in as part of that?
We do see a lot with phytogenics that we see clear effects on performance. We see that clear gut morphology, but a lot of it, we're still trying to understand sometimes the molecular mechanism. So understanding exactly the specific interaction that's going on within the host immune signaling pathways, or sometimes, you know, the synergy with the microbiota and the microbiome, you know, that's a big topic nowadays, is trying to understand, you know, we're just learning that it is how important it is to actually feed the microbes that are in your gut. So making sure that we are utilizing these phytogenics or these additives to say, is this actually helping with improving the microbes, the beneficial microbes in your gut? And is it the fact that we're helping or improving just the short chain fatty acids, or is there something else? So like, we need to make sure to dig a little, we need to keep digging, you know, we're still kind of at the surface level. So we still need to keep digging to see what's going on.
Are there challenges in terms of just carrying out the research? Are there limitations or struggles that we run into in doing this kind of research?
Absolutely. The biggest thing I like to talk about is homeostasis. So homeostasis to me looks very different to homeostasis to you. What I mean by that is I'm from Georgia. It's hot here. So the way my body is currently, you know, going through the environment, that's what I consider my norm, versus you take me out of this environment and you put me into somewhere like Canada where it's colder. That's out of my norm. But if you're used to being in that environment, then that is what you consider your norm or your type of homeostasis. So I think the biggest issue is that we're not going to be able to put every chicken or every producer or every flock in one box. So all of these phytogenics are going to react very differently based on other external environmental issues. So that's going to be the biggest problem when we're working on these, is it might work well for you in this environment, but it might not work for you in this environment. And we might have to change what your norm is, for lack of better words.
So does that influence, how you take university scale studies and controlled studies and apply the results into the commercial setting?
Absolutely. That was, the biggest, and I think this is going to be the biggest thing for anyone that's coming straight out of university going into the industry. You know, we're in the university setting, used to very clean, everything's temperature controlled, everything's perfect. For lack of better words, everything's perfect. You know, we're cleaning the house out constantly. We're putting fresh litter down every single time. So we've created an environment that is very sterile. And that's not how most of the producers are. You know, they're reusing litter, or they might not have the perfect ventilation. So, you know, a lot of it when you're working in the university, it's still applicable. I don't want everyone to think like, oh my God, it's not applicable. It's very applicable. It's just showing you that if we're seeing these results in this such a clean slash perfect environment, then that means that we'll probably see some type of good alteration, even in those not so clean or not so, you know, or those normal environments that producers see. So no, it's very, like I said, these university research is very important and imperative for us to continue to grow, because a lot, you know, you can't always go on to the field and do field trials. So it's very important for us to have university research.
Yeah. And as you gain more experience with the field application, you can build on the confidence that you have in different products. So is there any application of your work beyond poultry? Are you focusing on poultry, or is there applications like in swine or aquaculture or even goats?
Oh, yeah. So for me, I am solely your poultry girl. However, our team does not only just look at poultry. We also look at equine. We also are doing swine. We're doing ruminants. And we're also working with aquaculture as well. So we are all species. We even do some exotics as well. So we are working with all species, and we're willing to listen to anyone that may need help, because we understand the importance of this switch over from, you know, no longer using antibiotics. And we want to make sure that we're staying, you know, with the curve. So that's one of the biggest philosophies here at Probiotech International, is that we do industry driven research. So we want to make sure that whatever those industry needs are, we are able to help fulfill them.
It's time for our famous three.
Join the Poultry Science Association at our inaugural PSA Pacific Rim Scientific Conference, October 13th through 16th in Macau, China. Explore groundbreaking symposia and hear the latest research impacting the global poultry industry. Here is your chance to present your latest work, recruit future leaders, and network with other experts in the field. Help us shape the future of poultry science. Register now at poultryscience.org. See you in Macau.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Making life easier for animals and those who care for them is the mission of Jeffo. Evonik, we are sciencing the global food challenge. Boehringer Ingelheim, health experts bring industry-leading knowledge and expertise to today's poultry producers to help them solve challenging health issues through smart, science-driven decision-making using the best resources available. Probiotech International, creating the next generation of feed and water additives to improve animal nutrition, health, and well-being. Innovation is in our nature. Visit probiotech.com/EN for more information. Adiseo provides nutritional solutions and services to help producers achieve their targets in high-quality, safe, and sustainable way.
So that brings us just about to the end of the interview, and I've got a few questions for you. Maybe... hopefully a little bit fun. So what's your favorite poultry-related book or resource? What's your go-to?
I feel like this one is the obvious, but, you know, Poultry Science Journal is always, you know, every, you know, I'm, like I said, I'm still fresh out of university, so I'm still academic articles. So Poultry Science is still my top journal search when it comes to poultry stuff.
How about outside of agriculture? What do you enjoy reading or how do you spend your time?
So I am a big fantasy fan. So fairies and vampires and things of those nature. So I just finished reading the series A Court of Thorns and Roses. It is about fae, so fairies. And so I love all things mythical.
And last question, in your opinion, what do you think it's necessary for a person to be successful in your field?
Confidence. Even if you think you don't know, it's okay. Someone else probably also doesn't know. So that's the biggest thing, is making sure that, you know, come into the room and don't be afraid to say you don't know. Don't be afraid to say that you don't understand, because you never know who else you're helping out there, because someone else may be too afraid to say they don't know or they don't understand. So, you know, it's okay to be it's okay to be wrong. And it's, but also, you know, come in with confidence, you know. That's the biggest thing. And always be friendly. You know, a lot of people will come up to me and they're just like, Candace, you're always just happy. And I was like, I mean, what else is that? What else do I have to do?
Yeah, that's great to hear. Dr. Candace Blue, thank you so much for joining us today on the Poultry Podcast Show.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
That concludes another episode of the Poultry Podcast Show presented by Wisenetics. Thanks for joining us today. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and stay updated on future episodes. If you enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a review. And remember that your feedback is always important to us. Visit our website at wisenetics.com to learn more about all of our podcast segments, including poultry, swine, dairy, beef, feed milk, crops, and even pet food. I'm Doug Corbin. I'll see you next time on the Poultry Podcast Show.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent without a time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on your $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.